G'day, welcome to the show. It's late, I haven't even had a cup of coffee. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to give it a shot because I wouldn't want to leave you without a show today. Here's some ads. I'm going to have a sip of coffee.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Back in a sec. G'day. Welcome to the show. This is Better Than Yesterday, making it better every episode since 2013. I'm Oshie Ginsberg. Thanks for being a part of it. I'm a podcaster. I am a TV show host. I'm a best-selling author. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a stepdad. I am someone who is in a high-rise apartment building with two other comedians, one sleeping on a couch, the other in the room right next to me, and it's 8 in the morning, and I think we all got to bed around 2, and yet, because of daylight saving in my body clock, and because I don't drink, I'm like, awake, and I remembered as I woke up, oh, shall I have a little more of a sleep in, and then realized, oh, fuck, I didn't get the podcast recorded yesterday. So here I am, because I wouldn't want to leave you out of the show. I don't know if you can hear that, but there is a jackhammer furiously trying to pull the roadway of Franklin Street apart beneath us. It is the building a metro here in Sydney. It seems to be a thing in Australia at the moment. Sorry, I'm in Melbourne. They're building a metro here in Melbourne. It seems to be a thing at the moment. That somehow Australian cities all at the same time, because Brisbane's doing it too, all kind of went, you know what, let's do some new undergrounds. And I wonder if this has to do with the economic availability of tunnel boring machines. Now, they're an extraordinarily efficient way of drilling tunnels, possibly. But that's another podcast altogether. I'm quite fascinated with tunnel boring machines. I tend to watch a lot of tunnel boring machine videos with my son Wolfgang. But regardless, that's the sound of the jackhammers. It's one of those work sites that works all day, all night. So when I got to bed, I put my earplugs in because the guys were downstairs digging. How did I not get a podcast on yesterday? Well, we have just wrapped the second season of MTNN NNN here at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And it was extraordinary. I am in a fluctuating moment in my career right now. And so to have the enormous support of my wife, Audrey, to go, you know what, go down there, do this show. And I'm not going to lie to you, like, when you think comedy, you might be thinking, if you watch a TV special on, you know, on YouTube, or you see, you know, a comedian, a stand-up comedian, you might think, oh, yeah, look at that. There's like 400 people there. Or there's a Enmore Theatre or something, a state theatre. There's like 1,000 people. There's 1,500 people there. Wow, that's what comedy is. It is me on stage with a show that I have written that that day. I've taken all day to do it with the help of some people who found me some stories. It is five cast members and one special guest playing to a room of 18 people in a weird kind of first floor upstairs conference place. That was the first couple shows. And we all dragged down here. And I love these guys. My cast are so fucking amazing, right? They're the fastest, funniest improvisers. They are so good. They're so clever. Because what makes good improvisation is clever. And you've got to be well-read. You've got to know a lot of shit. You've got to be really curious about the world. That's what makes great improv. You've just got to be able to access your subconscious that you constantly feed with all different kinds of input. And it just shows up. And so clever, clear, curious people make amazing improvisers. So therefore, they also make great people to hang out with when you're not doing the show. My team are amazing. So I'm standing on stage with these people. And the first time we did it, at the festival last year at the Malthouse Theatre, that was all the money to pay my cast, because I really believe in paying them, because they're worth it. All the money to pay my cast was out of a development budget, because we were on a fucking freight train on the way to making a pilot, right? It was all development budget. It was money set aside for development budget. It was able to be written off as a development budget. We got the show. We did a pilot. There we go. So, like, you know, to break even, like, touring six people is expensive shit, all right? So, yeah, they organize their own flights and accom that time and this time, but still, I pay them a lot. Because they're worth it. That's, it costs, the award rate for actors per hour is a lot, so I pay them. And, well, I did pay them. And so, yeah, we ended up in the red, but it's fine, because we got the pilot made, and that was the whole goal of the situation. It was a loss leader, that's how it works. You hope to recoup when the pilot sells. That's the risk. Cut to a year later. The network passed on the pilot for network reasons. They have reasons. That's fine. It doesn't mean that it's a bad show. It's like anything, you know, when it comes to entertainment. So, for example, you're trying to cast an actor for a film and, you know, this extraordinary brunette shows up and she's, like, unbelievable and she can cry on cue and she's fucking amazing. And then, you know, a blonde walks in and the director or the writer goes, that's who she is. She's right there. I mean, like, brunettes can become blonde. I know this for a fact. But it's not because a brunette was a bad actor. But they just had a blonde in their brains. And they go, yep. So it's got nothing to do with the quality of the product. It's just the hole that needed filling. So they passed on the show. And my cast said, hey, we're going to do the comedy festival again. And I had to be really honest. I was like, guys, I really want to, because I love doing the show and I love working with you guys. But I can't pay you like I paid you last time. And every single one of them, there's about eight or nine of them by now, they were like, oh, no, we never make, you know, sure, we'll do it for whatever. Like, whatever. I said, I could do it for a percentage of the door, but it probably won't be much. So, yeah, whatever. It's fine. And that just blew my mind, because not only are they smart and clever and funny and amazing and talented, fucking fast, they also do it because they just fucking love it. And there's nowhere else that you get to do this particular thing. Like, you can't last night land on the new rainbow planet that's been discovered outside the solar system and discover it's populated with unicorns who are homicidal. You don't get a chance to do that in your day-to-day life. But they got to do that last night. And it's a lot of fun pushing your imagination around like that and squishing it together and making it do stuff. But sure enough, as the show went on, word of mouth travels very quickly in a comedy festival, and soon enough we're playing to full rooms, and it was glorious. Oh my God, like, we make an amazing show, and my team are just fantastic, and the writing team are fucking brilliant. It's to be on stage and to deliver a comedy monologue is something that I never get to do in my other jobs. All right, when I'm doing the whispery rose counting stuff, the job is not to deliver a comedy monologue. When I'm screaming take it off at a, you know, giant dish brush, that is not a time to do a comedy monologue. I can land a joke here or there if I'm lucky in the amount of time we've got, which is not a lot. But on this show specifically, I get a chance to deliver like late night monologue jokes. And it's fucking amazing to do it because I love to do it. And it turns out I'm actually good at it. Simon Taylor came to see the show. Simon Taylor wrote for Jay Leno. Simon Taylor has been on late night monologue writing teams. And he paid me the most glorious compliment about my writing and about my delivery, which is amazing. And it's wonderful. Like, even if the show never gets up, it would be sad, but it's really lovely to know that having done this run and the last run before, it's like, no, I can fucking do that. I can nail the shit out of that. And it was great. Last night was really something because it was, if you've been following this podcast for a while, I've talked about the development of the show since the start. And I've talked about my anxiety about it, and I've talked about my worries about it. I've talked about how concerned I am about how much it costs, but I'm also very open about, look, this is what have you got to swing for the fences? If you're going to have a go, like, yeah, I could have made this on a, you know, using a shitty green screen effect on a phone in my bedroom. No, I'm going to say yes to a comedy festival and just get a chance to live test it in front of audiences, and it fucking kills. And how I know it's really, really good is the quality of the people that come and be our guest. We have a special guest every night. Last season we did, specifically we did journalists, we did real actual people who work in the real news, and it was like newsreaders and field reporters and it was sports reporters. It was fucking super cool. This season we mostly did comedians because we had a different time slot. And we were able to get lots of different comedians on board. We had Jen Fricker, who also writes on the show sometimes. Nazim Hussain, Will Anderson came and did it. It was fucking awesome. Tom Ballard came and did it. And both, you know, and last night we had Tom Sainsbury, who's a magnificent New Zealand stand-up. He's fucking amazing. If you're lucky, you can get a ticket to his show. And also Shanoa Allen, who's one of the most extraordinary comedic actors I've ever seen, like most extraordinary physical comedians. Oh, Smack came and did it. Hydraulic Press Girl, she came and did it. Unfucking-believable physical comedy. And I know these people see a lot of shows. Actually, the night that Smack came and did it, that was really that was the absolute kicker because it was early in the run. There was probably about 25 people in the room. It was a half room. The room was like 60 people. That's a fairly standard-sized comedy festival room, by the way. And she came with a couple of mates from LA who perform a lot. They're professional dancers. They see a lot of shows. They're in the front row. Her two friends were in the front row. And they fucking laughed their asses off. And they were so into it. And they were still going on about it the next day. And it was because my ego's like, I need everyone in the room. I need every seat full. I need everyone in the room to laugh at everything. I need everyone to lose their shit when my eyebrow twitches. And my ego, I was like, shh, buddy, quiet, quiet, quiet. And, after the show, these ladies, who I'd never met before, in their rather thick accents, gave me the most glorious compliments. And, like, they have no reason to lie to me. And they said, that's a fucking amazing show. It was so funny, fast, and great. And it really helped me get to the idea of, like, if one person in the room is resonating in the same level as us, even not for the whole show, that's enough. Then we did it.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Because with the kind of show we do, the audience wants to come and find the kind of stuff we do, all right? And there was one night we did with Nazim Hussain, which was, oh my God, the audience was, they were like at a smoke point where, you know, the oil is so fucking hot and you just got it just below where you've caused a fucking pan fire, right? And you throw your, you know, lotus roots or your whatever tempura into it and they would just go for everything. And because we have a very reactive show, it's improvised, right? So whatever the audience is laughing at, that's the cue for all of us on stage to go, oh, I'll give you more. And so it's this self kind of sustaining loop where the cast just keeps leaning into whatever it is that night the audience wants to get. And if it's super nerdy Shakespeare references or dick jokes, it doesn't matter. They'll get more of what they want. And that night particularly, it just, oh man, if you were there on that show, thank you for coming. It was fucking great. But it was unbelievable. And like, none of this would have been possible without Audrey. If this is the first time listening to the show, Audrey is my wife. And her support, yep, go do this thing. Invest the money in all the, because it's a lot of gear. It's, you know, microphones and cameras, a lot of shit. Invest the money. Go get it done. You know, you've got to get this. I know you can do it. You're going to get this working. It's a fucking good concept. It's a great show. And she knows what she's talking about. She's very clever. Her support, particularly on this run, has just been fucking amazing. And that's really something. We were talking late at night after the show. I'm in it with Heggie. I'm staying with Heggie. And Sean Woodland's on the couch right now. And the other guys in the cast went off to see another show. I was still packing stuff up by the time I finished packing up. The other show had started, so I just went and found Heggie. And he was at Cherry Bar in Melbourne, which back in the days when I was drinking, when Cherry Bar was in a place called ACDC Lane. Yeah, that was a name. They renamed the street because of the bar. It's a rock and roll bar. It's probably the best fucking bar in Australia, without a doubt. And I don't even drink. It was fucking dope. And I was there with Heggie and, you know, it was, I mean, like any bar that's filled with your people, you're going to think is the dopest bar in the world. So sure enough, I'm in a bar filled with my people and I'm listening to the songs of my people. And there's a couple of mates of Heggie's that are playing bands. And yeah, it was good to, you know, talk shit, talk music. And we went out to a very, very late night a Chinatown feed, which was amazing. It made me weep for Sydney that not only do we have a state government that magnificently fucked up a light rail, they also destroyed a fucking nightlife scene. And you can't get a meal after 9:30 at night in Sydney. It is a sad state of affairs. It truly is. But we're sitting down to dinner at this fuck-off restaurant at midnight, and it was unreal. I was having a great chat. It was really good vibes. And then riding my bike home through the city at, you know, 1:30 in the morning or whatever the fuck. It was, you know, BMX Bandits with Heggie, which has been really fun because I've been riding bicycles everywhere. The Lug and Carry guys hooked me up with a bicycle down here and I've been riding everywhere. It's been the best. It's just magnificent. And Audrey's just been such a huge part of me being able to do that. Because, you know, she's at home with a toddler who's got a fever and she's, you know, I'm getting texts from her going, oh, he's just come to bed and he's got a temperature and I'm feeding him Panadols or whatever. And I'm, you know, standing in the street outside Supper Inn in Chinatown on a bicycle chatting with, you know, comedians who've just rolled out of another bar and about to ride a bicycle home with my friend that I've been riding bicycles since I was 8 back through the city of Melbourne. And don't worry, I'm going to get home and I'm going to be past a 4-year-old and Audrey's going to head out the door, rightly so. And I can't wait because I miss them ever so much. But there's no way I'd be able to do this. And that's a humongous part of any relationship is what my old manager used to say to me, how hard have you worked? Only you know how hard you've worked to make your dreams come true. But if there's one thing I could say about relationships is how hard do you work to help your partner achieve their goals and their dreams? because nothing says I love you like, I've got this, you do that. It's important that you do that for all of us. You go get it. It's amazing. It's fucking amazing. I'd like to think we do that for each other. Again, but this is me who thinks, I think I do a good job of stacking the dishwasher. I probably don't. So take that with all the grains, the kilos of salt that you can. Sorry the pod was late. Sorry if the quality is a bit potato. Thanks for being a part of it. I'm back here on Wednesday. Have a good one. Oh, fuck, of course the ditch digger and the fucking jackhammer stopped right now. you can find us. Find us in the DMs if you need to get in touch with me. It was so nice to meet all the people that listen to the podcast that come to the show. Thank you so much. It was fucking great to meet you all. Just brilliant. I love it. It was a really, really fun trip. It's nice to meet people face to face. So thanks for coming to Six Gigs and so thanks for coming to say hi. All right. I'm going to start packing all this shit up and drive home to Sydney.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.